The name Amelia means zealous worker, industrious worker. Not fair flower or pretty maiden or light on the meadow. Hard worker. It's a Germanic name that derives from the root word amal, meaning work. The story goes that it was given to my great-grandmother a full year after her birth. The family had been content to call her Sis until someone had to fill out a birth certificate. And now the name is mine. I learned the meaning of my name when my parents were naming my baby brother and there were baby name books in the house. It was a huge disappointment. Not the kind of name an awkward 11-year-old girl wanted. Zealous worker? But over the years, I grew to love my name anyway. And it fits because I am a worker. I love a project, a task, a chore. Doing is just how I'm most comfortable. I was in college when I visited St. James's down the road and saw the words from today's epistle boldly written in gold letters, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." It seemed exactly right to me. Right there in big bold letters, all the checks on my checklist and all the gold stars from my childhood charts were given validation. God wants us to be doers. But in today's gospel, Jesus takes aim at some people who thought they were being doers of the word. Seems the Pharisees took issue with the disciples eating with dirty hands. Now, as a mama, I too take a little bit of issue eating with dirty hands. But in today's gospel, the Pharisees, who were clearly not mamas, got crossways because somehow not washing your hands before you eat was a slap in the face of the elders. Jesus and the disciples were breaking holy laws by not washing their hands. They were not doing the things that should be done. And my guess is that if you asked those Pharisees, they would tell you they felt they were both being hearers of the word and doers of the word, holding to traditions and honoring the way of life handed to them through generations. But Jesus sees it differently, and he tells them so. He throws a little bit of Isaiah at them. "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Ouch. They are in trouble. Jesus goes on. He tells them that it's not the eating with dirty hands that defiles them. It's the ugly in their hearts coming out that is the real problem. It is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. And then Jesus lists some sins, some biggies, words that I had to go look up when I was a kid and then slam the dictionary shut when I learned what they meant. Jesus also mentions some of our everyday ugly: pride, folly, envy. We humans, dirty hands or not, can keep some awful stuff stored up in these hearts of ours. This is not the first time that Jesus has had it out with the Pharisees over laws and traditions. It's an ongoing battle we hear throughout the gospel. And Jesus also has to address it with the people who love him and are trying to follow him. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? When Jesus arrives unexpectedly at their house, Mary stops everything and attends to washing Jesus' feet and anoints them with oil. While she does that, Martha goes to work. There is work to be done. But Jesus reminds Martha and us too that this busy doing and following of customs is not always what really needs to happen. Stopping to hear what Jesus was saying was what was needed, not more doing. When Russell Wyatt, our junior warden, was saying goodbye to Andrew a few weeks ago, he mentioned that he likens many things to sports analogies. And it may be surprising, but sometimes I do too. Sometimes I imagine God a bit like a college football coach watching me make the plays of my life. He's there with his headphones and clipboards, and he's calling the plays. And sometimes I listen, and sometimes I do not. And sometimes I'm not listening at all. But I am a zealous worker, and I am busy out there doing something on the field that I have deemed very important. And the less I listen to God, the more important the doing becomes rather than the reason I'm choosing to do the doing. I can just see God throwing down his clipboard and pulling off his earphones. Why is she running that Martha play again? Why? And he turns to his special teams coach, Jesus. Why is she running that play? Haven't we talked to her about that? And Jesus nods, chews his gum. More than a couple of times. God calls me over to the sidelines after the play, and I'm pleased as punch with myself because I have been out there busy doing. I'm waiting for my gold star when God looks at me and says, "Stop it. Stop running that daggone Martha play. I've told you I love you, and there is no amount of doing on your part that is going to make me love you any more or any less. I need you to listen to me. Hear me." I'm pretty sure that those Pharisees weren't trying to disobey God, but they had gotten so busy doing that they weren't really listening to God. We are called to be both hearers and doers, but I think our human nature, or at least my version of it, makes it awfully easy to get caught up in the doing. Hearing what God calls us to do is not a one-stop deal. It is an ongoing dialogue. He's always calling new plays for us to run. But unless we're listening, we're going to miss those calls. Jesus repeatedly shows us that life with God is not an or life, but an and life. We are not sinners or redeemed. We are sinners and redeemed. We are not broken or whole. We are broken and whole. We are not guilty or forgiven. We are guilty and forgiven. We are not loved or unloved. We are loved and loved even in our ugliest places, even when we do the things that 11-year-olds have to go look up in the dictionary. Hearers and doers, we are called to hear and do, not just hear, not just do. But for those of us who are innately born doers, zealous workers, this is hard. It's a lot more comfortable for some of us to keep on doing than to stop and evaluate if what we are doing is right. It could be that our ways, even when they are well-intentioned and seemingly full of meaning, are leading us in the wrong direction. Martha's good intentions led her to clean the kitchen rather than to fall at the feet of Jesus. The Pharisees' good intentions led them to get in a tussle with Jesus about the washing of hands. Fred Rogers once said, "I feel so strongly that deep and simple is far more essential than shallow and complex." Deep and simple. This could be the very definition of the gospel call to love. However, shallow and complex, sadly, this might be the very definition of what we as humans can do with that call when we busy ourselves with lots of doing and fall short on the hearing. James, in his epistle today, gives us some advice on how to live a deep and simple life. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. He says to work on getting as much ugly out of our hearts as possible and to welcome in the way of love. It's far easier said or heard than done. But doesn't a life that is deep and simple sound wonderful? The trouble may come because being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger does not look a whole lot like doing something. Listening and being slow and careful with our words and deeds does not meet the pace of the life we have today. We live in a time where there are lots of people loudly proclaiming their place as doers. The word they are proclaiming may be about religion or it may be about our nation and its policies. You see them on the nightly news shouting over one another. Sneers and insults seem to pass for conversation. You see it in our constant social media feeds where people who do not even know one another snipe and feud, with the ugly in their hearts on full display. And honestly, a lot of it sounds as ridiculous to me as the Pharisees fighting with Jesus about washed hands. Talk about shallow and complex. That's it. But a life that is deep and simple leads us into the way of love. Sometimes this is something we see, like the nuns David spoke about last week who rushed into a war zone to help children in the hospital. Like the woman who kept her seat on the bus to claim her God-given dignity. Like the captured Navy pilot who refused to leave his prison cell before his brothers were allowed to go. And there are times when each of us may be called to such bold and visible acts of service. And I pray we may meet that call. But often this deep and simple life is lived quietly, where there are no gold stars, no proclamations of our service and good deeds. There are so many acts of love, acts in direct response to hearing God's call, that happen around us every day. The parents who kneel in prayer and meet with a specialist and move heaven and earth for a child who is struggling. The daughter who sits vigil by her father's bed and handles the diagnoses and the doctors. The teacher who carefully prepares each desk for each new student. The note of thanks dropped in the mail and the meal delivered to the door. The fellow traveler in the church basement offering a cup of coffee and the promise of new beginnings. The extra kiss goodnight. All these acts of quiet doing keep us in the way of love. They fill our hearts so that there is less room for the ugly to take up residence. But it still can creep in. A shallow and complex life of busy doing is easy to slip into. It happens to me, this zealous worker, often. But thankfully, life with God is an and life. So I can be shallow and complex and deep and simple. It's all a matter of practice. I'll keep showing up to run the plays, and hopefully I'll get better slowly at listening to those plays being called. And maybe God won't have to throw his clipboard quite so often. We've been given so much to help us live into this deep and simple life. Our shared story and God's love. This table that is always set for us. This community of believers who we are privileged to learn alongside. And even though our hands get dirty and we forget to listen to the play being called and our hearts can leave too much room for the ugly, life with God is an and life. And I'm convinced that a deep and simple life with Him is possible, and this life will lead us home.